We turn to words we find in the chapter which we read in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, and we shall read again at the beginning of verse 17. Ephesians chapter 6, at the beginning of verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Amen. Here we have one of the pieces of armor which Paul told the Ephesians that they were to put on and to take to themselves. It is a whole armor. No piece should be missing, but there are different pieces. And it is an interesting study to consider the different pieces and their significance. We've done that on a previous occasion, but here we have one piece which we do well to consider often. The helmet of salvation. And we need to ask, first of all, what is meant by it? And the answer must be not so much salvation itself, but the benefit of salvation, the use of salvation in the life and the experience of the believer. We're not exactly to take on salvation, to take it. We've done that already. We've been enabled to come to Jesus Christ and to exercise faith in him with repentance toward God. And at that very instant, when we first truly believed, we received salvation, a full pardon for our sin, and justification, the righteousness of Christ as our righteousness. That is our title to heaven, always is and always will be. We have been delivered from eternal death by the death of our dear Redeemer. Paul is writing to believers. Those who have received and are enjoying salvation as the gift of God's free and sovereign grace. And the context is their warfare, their spiritual warfare. He says in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. We need it to be able to stand. And these believers were engaged in battle after battle after battle. And he seems to be saying to them, and the Holy Spirit to us, make use of your salvation when you go into battle. Remember what God has given you, the status he has granted you, and the glory which is promised to you. If you do that, if you bear these things in mind, if you have these truths confirmed in your heart, well then, you will be able to stand in the evil day. Stand against all the wiles of the devil. Stand firm, having done all, to stand. And so the apostle is exhorting them to a confident faith. Confident in the Lord. And that is salvation in the subjective sense. It's salvation in terms of the assurance we have of our salvation. And that's very important. Salvation is the great thing, to have it, but to be assured of it, oh, that is a blessing indeed. Even as we're in this world, even as when we look within, we see nothing to commend us to God and our wretchedness, and we may be discouraged and even cast down spiritually when we look within, yet we look outward ourselves. We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and in Him our faces are lightened. There's a joy in our soul. We are assured that we are right with God. We are His children. We have a mansion in heaven, and in that spirit we engage in the spiritual warfare which belongs to the church and the people of God in this world. So let us consider this helmet in terms of it representing assurance of salvation. Firstly, to consider the question, the meaning of assurance. And clearly it is linked to faith. And assurance is only possible if we have the faith of God's elect. Not the faith of devils. Not that historical faith which simply accepts biblical history and facts, even facts concerning Jesus Christ. But that faith which is of the operation of God by the Holy Spirit in the soul. Soul has been made new, quickened, and the life of God is in the soul. And in the soul there is faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And assurance comes from faith. And you see that in John's first epistle and in chapter 5. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He's explaining to them why he wrote to them. And the answer is this. They needed to have their confidence in Christ, in terms of their union with Christ, and their enjoyment of the benefits which are in Christ. They needed to have that assurance strengthened. And how did the apostle do that? Well, he wrote to them in terms of various tests of life, marks of spiritual life. And if you read the first epistle of John, you will note them. He speaks often of those who are born of God, and he describes them, how they love God, how they love the brethren, how they do righteousness, how they in various ways conduct themselves as those in whom the grace of God is at work, powerfully at work. And when you discern these marks in yourself, when you find in your heart and life what Scripture says belongs in the hearts and lives of God's people, then the Spirit of God witnesses with your spirit that you are a true child of God. And if you have assurance of salvation, and we trust we do, it doesn't incline you to be careless in your living? Or to cease to do what you ever did as a Christian? You believe on Christ, on the name of the Son of God. You continue doing that. Proper assurance of salvation will never lead you away from the Lord. It will bring you closer to the Lord, more dependent upon Him. For in Him is your life. He is the one full of grace and truth. He is the good shepherd leading His flock in the way that will bring them to heaven. And the heart of the believer is set upon his or her Saviour. He is the chiefest among 10,000. And we want to be close to him in our experience. And we want to glorify him in our daily lives. So, having salvation is one thing, being assured of it is another, although the two are of course inseparably linked. Our catechism tells us that assurance of God's love is one of those benefits which accompany or flow from justification, adoption, and sanctification. If we're justified, we have peace with God. And the peace of God is guarding our hearts. If we're adopted, then we have the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. If we are being sanctified, then we're being conformed to Christ. The Holy Spirit is fashioning us by grace into the likeness of Christ. These things in us, by God's grace, speak to us in terms of God's salvation, that He has begun the good work. And that text is very important, Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. It's telling us that He who hath begun a good work will perform it. And he will do so until the day of Christ. And you can only have salvation with that belief. You can only have assurance of salvation with that belief. The doctrines of grace, the perseverance of the saints, that God preserves his own unto eternal life. If you had this so-called salvation, which some speak of, is one you can lose apparently. How can you have assurance of salvation along with that? You might be a child of God at the moment, but the time could come when you sin such grievous sin that somehow God disowns you and casts you off and you're no longer a child of God. It's a horrendous doctrine. And there's no ground for assurance there. Because what you have, you can lose. But not a true assurance of salvation. Because the salvation the believer has, he can never lose. When you turn to chapter 5 of the Romans, you see how assurance is obtained and enjoyed in the experience of the believer. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There you have the love of God experienced by the sincere Christian. It's shed abroad in the heart. We're tasting and seeing that God is good. We're enjoying fellowship with Him. We're getting that confidence that the Lord has indeed entered in by His Spirit. And He's come in to abide. And He's never going to depart. And we rejoice in hope. It's the hope of the glory of God. And that hope remains. And that glorying remains in tribulations. Here you have a believer. And he's tried and afflicted. And he's in fierce conflict. And he may be fainting within. And he might feel like giving up the race. But no, he does not. The Lord sustains him. And the Lord does that by the work of grace in his soul. He's strengthened with God's strength inwardly. But the Lord also preserves that hope. And even causes that hope to be a brighter hope in the time of trouble, when there is great opposition. Hope is like that. It's an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. It entereth into that which is within the veil. Hope in Christ is the hope that is from a Saviour who's entered in as the head of the church, as the Redeemer of the body. Christ so loved the church that he gave himself for it. And if he gave himself for it, he will have that church and every member of it with him in glory. Even though they must enter the kingdom of God through much tribulation. Our salvation may be considered as salvation in three tenses, past, present, and future. Justification, we have been justified. Sanctification, that work is going on. And then glorification, that will be God's final work in the souls of his people, even as he takes them from this world, this poor sinful world, into their heavenly home. The meaning of assurance, and then the place of assurance, and that is what we have especially here with the symbol of a helmet. Take the helmet of salvation. What was the helmet like? The helmet worn by soldiers in those days. And Paul probably had in mind the Roman soldier. The Jews that would be familiar with Roman soldiers. They were the occupying nation and force. And we're told that the Roman helmet was a very sturdy thing, very often made of bronze, or at least of leather, studded with bronze, but often bronze itself. And it covered the whole head with just a visor for the eyes. And only a very strong blow indeed could pierce through such a helmet. And so it was something that if the soldier had on, it gave him a certain confidence. It encouraged him to believe that in standing his ground and engaging his enemy, he would nonetheless be saved in terms of his life, even while those who came against him might meet their end. The Roman army was well known for its order, its discipline, and the courage and the success in battle that it enjoyed. Well, no blow at all can take away your salvation. If you have salvation, you have it forever. And praise God for that. But here's the helmet, and it's giving protection to the head and yet enabling the eyes to see. And assurance that parallels that. If you have assurance of salvation, it should guard your mind and it should direct your walk. It keeps your mind focused on the Lord. And the mind is so important. That's where the enemy will attack. Satan seeks an entry into your thoughts. Because if Satan could get an entry into your thoughts, he may influence your desires. And he may work upon those fleshly desires within, that which remains of sin in your soul, stir up these things, and draw your mind away from the Lord. And from the things of God which you should be thinking upon, and toward the things of sin and this ungodly world. And we need our eyes to be focused upon Christ Jesus. It's when we take our eyes off Christ that we enter into difficulty spiritually. We know that from Simon Peter, when the Lord called him to come from the ship across the water to where he was. And initially Simon Peter made progress. But then he beheld the wind and the waves. He looked away from Christ at his difficulty. And so doing, he began to sink. And only the Lord delivered him from sinking down into the depths. Look to Christ. Fasten the eyes of your soul upon him. That is what faith is. It is a looking to the Redeemer. As God and man, prophet, priest and king, your righteousness, your strength, the one from whom you receive grace and in whom you shall receive glory. To have this helmet on, to be assured of our salvation, it can take away your fear. Your fear. What is the believer's fear? The fear is, so often, I'm not sufficient. I haven't got any resources. I'm weak, wayward. I'm liable to temptation. I'll easily succumb. I'll never make it to the end of my course. Still, trusting and obeying, following Jesus Christ. Well, here's the assurance. The love of God, it chose you, it purposed your salvation, it gave you to Christ, it sent Christ into the world, it brought you to Christ, and that same love will keep you in Christ. It's a covenant love, and the covenant is ordered in all things and sure. It's an unbreakable covenant, just as Jesus Christ is an all-sufficient Saviour. And the Holy Spirit, it gives all needed grace. It's good to go to those portions of the Bible, those verses which speak of the Christian's hope. And the goal of the Christian appointed by God, even that life of perfect friendship and fellowship between the saint and the Saviour in the glorious realm above, that's where God is taking his own. And to remind yourself of the promises which speak of the believer's hope, and how it is a sure hope. Thirdly, and finally, to consider the value of assurance. Take the helmet of salvation. Why should we value assurance? Why should we seek it? Why should we do all that we are bound to do for the maintenance of it in terms of our sense of it and enjoyment of it? And that requires that we walk with God, that we abstain from all appearance of evil, that we are regular in our worship, not only in public, but in the home, in the secret place. It requires that we engage in daily repentance. It requires that we are careful, that we please the Lord in all things. We read in the chapter of the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. And we should be like that as believers. But why is it that such a valuable thing, assurance of salvation? Can I not get to heaven without it? Without being so careful and strict in my walk? That's not the attitude of a genuine believer. The genuine believer is not seeking to get to heaven by doing as little as possible, by enjoying as much of the world as he or she thinks they can get away with, and still having Christ and still having heaven. All the work of redemption was done by Christ, and salvation is the free gift of God. But do we not read of the calling of the believer? A heavenly calling. We're called heavenward. And we are to follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We are to perfect holiness in the fear of God. assurance is something, as we've said, which is linked not only to our justification and adoption, but our sanctification. If you have someone who turns his back upon God and sins willfully, think of David, the sin of adultery with Bathsheba, you think of Simon Peter denying the Lord 3 times, losing the joy of their salvation, not salvation itself, but the joy of it. That's not comfortable for a true believer. That's not a position you want to be in. And through repentance, returning to God, the sense of God's love will be restored to the soul. God hasn't ceased to love those who go astray, backslide. Rather, in his love, he will restore them, chasten them, scourge them, and recover them in that way. Some people seem to have a sort of assurance of salvation, which they like to display. They're very confident. They seem to have no troubles as a Christian. They're always saying what experiences they've had and what they've been doing for the Lord and what a wonderful thing it is to be saved and not to be going to hell. There can be a sort of overconfidence in the professing Christian, which is not becoming. We are to walk humbly with our God. That is the only way for a sinner saved by grace to be. We owe it all to the Lord and nothing of ourselves. That's on the one hand. Those who may be very sure of themselves, and we know that pride can enter in, and pride goeth before a fall, and that can be very humbling indeed. But on the other hand, there are those who, as far as we can tell, are the Lord's. They seem to have the marks of grace. There's something attractive about their character, their demeanor. They're diligent in spiritual things. And we would wish to say of them that we had a good hope concerning them. But they have never professed faith. And they will always speak of something they're lacking. They're wanting more. They're wanting something more before they would ever feel able to say that the Lord had met them and the Lord had done a work of grace in them. What they see is how unworthy they are. And that's true. We're all utterly unworthy of God's salvation, and ever shall be throughout the endless ages of eternity. What do those who are around the throne of God and the Lamb do? The Lord has given them a crown, but they cast it at Christ's feet. Thou art worthy, not me, the Lord Jesus, who purchased his people with his precious blood. He is worthy. And those who do not seem to have the assurance they would wish to have need to understand that we're not going to have here and enjoy here in the state of grace what perhaps belongs more to the state of glory. There are going to be doubts and fears, conflicts, battles. The warfare will go on until our dying day. But the Lord's promises to his people, they are gracious promises and promises of strength and deliverance and keeping to the end. And there are those who, if they took that step, the Lord would give them a greater strength, a greater confidence, and they would be able to serve the Lord in his church in a way they're not able to without making that step. Oh, that the Lord would give such grace that those who lack assurance, though they are the Lord's, will be able to acknowledge Christ as their Lord and Saviour. Take the helmet of salvation. Value assurance of God's love. We have this warfare, and we are soldiers of Christ, and we are to lay hold on eternal life. And if we are enabled to fight this good fight on the Lord's side, then the Lord surely is with us. And the Lord is encouraging us. And the Lord will strengthen our assurance more and more. Let us keep the eyes of our soul upon the Lord. And he will deliver us from all our foes. And take us to our eternal home. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. We thank thee, O God, for the priceless gift of salvation, that we are delivered from the death we deserve to die. O Lord, if that we are indeed among those, as we believe we are, who have believed to the saving of their soul, wilt thou give us that confidence and assurance and greater experience of thy love, even as thou art pleased to indwell our hearts by thy Spirit. Draw us closer to thyself in our walk and away from this passing sinful world, and forgive our sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.